Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
You have just tuned in to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Yes, it's 3GT time, and we're glad that you have joined us. This is Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm joined with my friends and co-host, Kyle Borg, pastor in Winchester, Kansas, and Scott Hunt, our parishioner from Marion, Indiana, and the center of the RPCNA universe, as we will be gathering in your town, for Synod next week. And I'm sure, Scott, you're going to be there welcoming us with open arms.
I was going to invite you over to my house, but I don't know now. Kyle booed.
Yeah.
Well, I was going the center of the, I don't want anybody in Indiana to think Indiana is the center of anything. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Hey, why are we all bunking at your house? Like, do I have to stay in the dorms, or can I just come crash with you guys?
You can come crash in my house. I don't mind. My wife might, but oh yeah, no, she wouldn't.
Well, I don't want to do that to her.
We may.
You know what I'll do, Scott? I'll make you look so good if I'm out and about around town. I'm just gonna let everybody know that I know you.
Yeah, and who? That's what they're gonna say. Actually, they're gonna say, "Oh, is he the guy that writes for the Chronicle Tribune?" Because there's a guy named Scott Hunt who writes. He's the sports editor for our local newspaper. Completely different. Scott
Hunt. Is that not you? Is that not you?
Are you serious?
Well, Barry and I invited you onto 3GT because we thought that's what your job was, and now you tell us a couple years after the fact.
I know.
Have you ever met? Sorry. Have you ever met your doppelganger?
Well, it's doppelganger. And how did I say that wrong? I can't talk. It's a name only because he's, believe it or not, he's a lot taller than me, a lot stronger than me. That's not
probably more handsome too. I mean,
probably a little bit older.
Everything you're not. So
yes, yes. Everything I aspire to be, I'm sure.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing you guys next week in person rather than just on Zoom. And the topic for today that we're going to be discussing with one another is about leaving a church. Certainly you guys have talked to people who have been on their way out the door, and you're trying to find out why it is that they're leaving. I'm sure people in congregations have had friends who've discussed with them that they're thinking about leaving a congregation. And I thought it might be helpful for us to think through this topic. When is it right? When is it wrong to leave a congregation? So to get things started off, I wanted to just make sure you guys are ready to do just that. Are you guys okay where you are? Things going all right in your own home congregations?
Yeah, I think so.
Not going to leave anytime soon?
No, I'm not going to leave anytime soon. No, this is not about me for sure.
Funny you should bring that up, Barry. I've recently been asked if I want to fill a vacancy. I'm at the seminary. The presidential chair is, from rumor has it, is going to be open pretty soon. And I was asked if I wanted to move to Pittsburgh to become president of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary.
Very well.
I haven't made my mind up just yet. So
we'll see what next week holds.
No, I often tell people that right now, I know I'm only 8 years into a pastorate, so some people might brush it aside as youthful zeal and excitement, but I would really appreciate being able to die in the church and in the field where I'm serving, literally the field here in rural America. I would love to be able to be here for the rest of my life. I do sometimes worry that the congregation might find that time in my ministry where they say it's time for you to move along, but we'll see what happens.
It's time to say goodbye. We won't sing it, but. Well, I too am happy where I am, and the only reason I would leave is if they sent us out to do a church plant or something like that. But for now, we're staying, and so it's good to know that we're all happy campers here. But
so, Barry, you're saying you wouldn't leave in order for me to take your spot? Just to be clear,
I'm staying. And I was talking about the congregation where I am. So let's talk about the subject then, because there are people in our churches who perhaps start getting discontented. Perhaps it's during this time of COVID where they've gotten accustomed to being away from the church and perhaps are thinking that another place might be more suitable for them. There could be a whole host of reasons why someone might choose to leave a congregation. And I've heard some give this type of argument to try to encourage people to stay. So I want to just hear what you have to say about this and we'll move on. But because Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, there's that imagery of a wedding that we see inherent between Christ and his people, between Christ and the church. And I've heard some people communicate that church membership is like a wedding and there's a permanency to it and you shouldn't really leave a church very easily. As a matter of fact, it should almost be against your will that you would ever leave a local congregation.
Yeah, so I actually don't think that's a helpful analogy to apply to this situation. Now, the relationship of Christ to his church as being one of a marriage, that's not what I'm saying is not a helpful analogy. That's a biblical picture for us. But then to meticulously apply that to one's relationship to just one locality or an expression of the visible church, I just don't think it's warranted. I get why people want to do it. And you know, you often hear that. I often heard that as a seminary student, as you were candidating in different churches. It was kind of like people were talking about, well, that's kind of the engagement period. And then you get married when you actually get installed. And for my part, I don't care for that language. I think, and I think this will come out more in our episode, but I think that can force, whether it's a pastor or members, that can really put some burdens on people's backs that I don't think we are meant to carry. And so I stay away from that language personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly something more than just a contractual relationship. And I think Kyle would agree with that. But it is certainly a lot less, in my opinion, than a marriage is. I mean, and we'll get into this, but there are godly reasons to leave a church. It's not the same. I'm not explaining it well, but it is certainly not the same as a marriage covenant, the relationship between a member and a local congregation. Now, I would say that to leave the church would be like getting a divorce, but not the local church. To leave the church altogether would be similar to that, but a local congregation is not the same as a spouse, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I think you're making an important clarification that if we want to use that marriage analogy, that certainly thinking of ourselves as the church universal, the church visible, certainly that would have application to it because we don't want to leave the church visible, but to pinpoint that down to just a particular geographical location could be an unhealthy and even a heavy-handed approach to talking to people about whether they should stay in a church or not. So I agree with you. And they would, you know, again, I'm just sharing some of the arguments I've heard before that I don't necessarily agree with either, but then someone would quickly follow with, well, yeah, but you took vows. You took vows to join the church. And so if you leave, you're breaking your vows. So again, how might you respond to that thought?
Well, we'll see about whether or not those were really vows at next week's synod meeting where we take up the question. But that aside, I think it's important that, you know, we take vows to God. And it, you know, the Westminster Confession of Faith talks about a vow is a promise made to God alone. We don't vow horizontally. I mean, we can promise things horizontally, but a vow has to do with the vertical relationship between me and God. And we can, fairly generally speaking, we can talk about Christian vows. But those vows have more to do with our relationship to God than it necessarily does to a local expression of the church. And I think that's important to remember as well. It's important to remember. And here we get into more ecclesiology, but just to throw it out there that, you know, my one local visible expression of the church here in Winchester, Kansas is not and I thank God for this, it is not the sum total of the church. You know, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America is not the sum total of Christ's people on earth. And so to go back to what Scott said, you know, to remove yourself from the church, broadly speaking, from the people of God, that is very serious. That is very dangerous. But we revel in the fact that Christ has a people from every tribe, language, and nation in different geographic regions. And our the need for Christians is to belong to one of those expressions, but not necessarily this absolute particular one.
Well, that's well stated. Thank you, Kyle. So that gets at the bigger picture idea that, well, it is possible for people to leave a church, but let's now get down to more of the practical aspects of that. Several episodes ago, we talked about reclaiming wandering sheep. So when people are on their way out the door, but this episode is really dealing more with people actually considering leaving or not. And so let's say you had a friend, and Scott, I want you to answer this first, more on the parishioner side than the pastoral side. I know you're an elder, but I just want you to think of it more on a friendship level at first that might relate to our listeners. If you had a friend come up to you in the church, or perhaps a friend in another church, and say that they were thinking about leaving, what would be some of the questions that you would ask them?
I think it would be a rather open-ended question first, which is why? Why are you? And that will direct the conversation. But I would want to know, is it personal? I mean, have there been personal affronts to you? Is it doctrinal? Are there things being taught from the pulpit and by the elders of the church that you find objectionable? Is it, I guess, a call to somewhere else? You know, I try to, when I talk to people, I tell them, don't run from something, run to something. And so are you being called somewhere else? Do you feel like that? So those are the kinds of questions I would want to know. If it was personal, then I'm sure we'll talk about this, but I would go into, well, what have you done to try to rectify that situation? If it's doctrinal, figure out what the doctrines are that are the issue. And if it's they're being called somewhere else, and I'm not talking about called across the street or, you know, across town to go to a different church, but, you know, move or go somewhere far away. Yeah, I'm considering leaving the church and going, moving down to Florida. You know, well, what's the purpose of doing that? What are you doing there? So I think those are the type of questions I would ask just as a friend. Why are you, you know, what's really driving this for you?
And Scott, just to clarify, when you say personal, you're talking about relational.
Yes.
Is that what you mean by that?
Yes.
That they have some type of relational conflict with perhaps the pastor, others in the congregation.
The pastor, an elder, a friend in the congregation, any one of those.
Yes. And I know it's been in my experience that often is right at the top of the list of why people leave churches. Kyle, now you can come in with your expert knowledge as our...
Yeah, but I'm not going to be relatable to the listeners. You are all like, Scott, I'm going to ask you first in a way that really relates to our listeners. So,
well, most of our listeners are parishioners. So,
but can I tell you this, Kyle? I think there is, when a pastor talks to a member about not leaving the church, it can almost seem like the pastor is doing that for their own reasons. Their own pride gets involved. I'm not saying that's true.
You're stealing my thunder, Scott. But go on.
So go ahead, Kyle. I'll let you talk.
So in some ways, I think, and you know, obviously in being a pastor, I have a lot of friends who are pastors, and there have been times when I know people are leaving their church. And my encouragement to them is maybe you're not the best person to actually be asking them the questions. And you need to keep that in mind, because I will admit it, whether it's good, bad, sinful, whether it's maybe a mixture of both, it is sometimes hard as a pastor to not take that personally. You know, I mean, it even hurts a little bit when people move to different geographical locations, and you know they have to move. They got job relocation. But as a pastor, you feel that very sensitively. And you know, and I think maybe, I don't mean this in this arrogant, high-standing way, but you feel that in a bit of a different way maybe than other people in the church feel. So, but having said that, I think it's really important in conversations like this, one, obviously, to distinguish between, well, is it necessary? You know, did you get a job relocation? And if so, you can't really fight it. You can't argue about it. You know, they're free to do that. That's not a bad thing. As long as they're going into it, you know, I guess I would begin all of it with, are you going into another church or are you just pulling back and leaving? Kind of like what Scott said, you know, it can't be just a matter of leaving, but are you going somewhere? Mm-hmm. So I would first want to clear the air and is this necessary? And if so, okay, we love you. We're going to miss you, but we don't begrudge it. You know, we understand providentially. Maybe that's what you want to say. Is it providential? And then I think it's really important to distinguish between, you know, are you leaving if it's not providential or necessary? Is it because of perceived sin, whether that is sin in doctrine or in practice? Or, and this is where I think a lot of wisdom comes in, is it preferential? Is it just that you found another church that you want to be involved in, or, you know, what have you? And I think it's really important to distinguish between those categories. You know, is it providential? Is it a matter of sin in doctrine or in practice, or is it preferential? And I think once you work in those categories, then you have a little more understanding on how to help direct and guide. And I would say, and I'm sure we're going to get into this, I think there's valid reasons to leave a church in all three of those categories. I think there are preferential reasons people can leave churches.
Mm-hmm. I think those are all very helpful clarifications. And as you were saying, Kyle, talking about a pastor just has so much invested in the people. And I was just thinking about at different times in my ministry when people told me they were leaving, it was just hard not to take it personal, even though they would assure me that it wasn't. It just felt like such a loss. So I do think involving other people in a situation like that is going to be important to do.
I'll say it's all, and I'm sure we're going to get here, but it's the same way when a pastor leaves, that sometimes it's hard. Oh, well, did we do something?
Are we dredging up old baggage here, you two? I'm like, not talk about this.
This is catharsis. It's cathartic for me to talk about.
Are you two wearing the same shirt? Are you two wearing the same shirt?
I think we are.
That's really cute, you guys.
How have we been recording for like 15 minutes and you just now notice? I've been trying
Scott,
to.
Now you're wasting our time. This is a good
I wondered why Scott was kind of sucked down and only letting his head show.
Yeah. So, but no, I think. I get what you're saying, Barry, even though I'm not a pastor, there can be, well, did we do something to make them leave and take that personally? I didn't feel that way about Barry. I knew where he was going and what he was doing. And I was
glad I was able to hide it from you.
Thank you.
you know, I
that's not true.
You know, ouch. I would expect that from Kyle.
The week before we left, I still remember sitting out watching your children play baseball together and having a great time, but feeling the sadness of the parting.
Yes.
You guys, this is getting awkward. Can we move on? I mean, if you guys want to do a separate episode based on your past relationship, we could do that, but now is not the time.
I was just merely pointing something out.
Oh,
Kyle,
man.
Thank you.
All syrup and no waffles. All syrup and no waffles.
Fine. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Well, are you done, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, let's move on.
So if someone was thinking about leaving a church, what would you coach them would be appropriate steps to take? You've asked the questions, I understand that, but what would you coach them to do to discern whether this is a proper action or not?
Can you give me... And I'm not trying to be bothersome.
Lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be lawyerly, but you know, what are the reasons for their leaving? I mean, if they're leaving because they don't like the color of the carpet at the church, my advice is going to be a little bit different than if they're considering taking a job in another city.
Well, let's take another job in another city. Is that always a reason to leave?
No. No, I would counsel them to pray about this first of all. And seek God's will in that, read scripture, be in prayer about it. Come and talk to the elders about it, about the desire. You know, it is perfectly fine to take a job somewhere else. but why? You know, are you leaving here because it's a better paying job? Are you being like Lot? You like it over there because the grass is greener? And is your soul going to be, is your righteous soul going to be tormented there because you went after that green pasture instead of following God? I mean, I think those are all legitimate. Now, if somebody's unemployed and they need a job and they need to move, that's providential. And I would say, yes, you need to really seek that. But if somebody's leaving a job that has provided for them and moving to another place for a job that's just they think is better, I would counsel them to really prayerfully consider that.
So I think a lot of times here in the U.S., with our American individualism, like a lot of people just make decisions like that and then come and inform the session. Like I know a lot of people who have decided to move on and they do come and tell the session, but they've already in their heart made the decision. So what I hear you saying, Scott, is that they might want to come and speak to the elders first and get counsel about it before they actually make the decision. And you're saying it's because of spiritual reasons that they might need to really think through this further.
And I've had a dear brother who came to the session like this and said, this very situation. And the session immediately said, go with God. You know, that is where you need to be. You're not going to get this, no, you can't go. That's not what a session is going to do, but they're here to pray with you and help you walk through this and make a good decision. I mean, there are times when, as hard as it is, you say, yes, we can see the Lord doing this. So go in peace, brother. And, you know, may the Lord use you in your new congregation.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I might take a slightly different approach. And that would be that if a relocation would bring somebody near to a church where they can worship and be part of the worship and the fellowship of that church and receive shepherding, I think I would probably be pretty open to just saying, you know, you're free to do that. You know, you're not bound to one job just because it provides well for your family. Like, you know, there are certain stipulations when it comes to work. You know, yeah, you want to be able to provide for your family. You want to be able to honor the Lord's Day, things like that. But beyond that, I think even as Christians, we have a degree of freedom. You know, wasn't it Augustine who said, you know, love God and go do what you want. I would change that slightly, glorify God in whatever you do and go do what you want. And the reality is sometimes people want to change and we live in a bit of a fluid society. I might wish it wasn't always like that. I might wish that, you know, people would plant in roots and dig in deeply where they are. And I might choose that for myself and even try to advocate that at times. But I do think we have to give people that liberty that they do have. They're not bound to a job or a geographical location, especially in our world that is increasingly growing smaller. So my concern would be, is there a true church, a true expression of it that's going to, that you will be able to participate in the worship and the life and the shepherding? And if so, we're really going to miss you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a wise balance that we want to help them seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things, which in that context is food, clothing, work, all those things that go along with that. So we're just wanting people to think through those things. It's not that we're wanting to control.
Yeah. And by coming to the elders, I'm not saying that even if it was, hey, I need a new job, you're not going to get in trouble. And no, I don't think any session would say, perhaps I can't speak for everybody, I've never been on a session that would say, you cannot do this. Hmm. But there is wisdom.
I don't think they would say that necessarily. I hope no decent session would. But there can be even subtly the pressure put on, because this is a loss to us and our body, you should really think about this. And I guess I want to avoid even the appearance of manipulation. And I'm not saying that that's what you're saying, Scott. I just think we need to deal sensitively in a situation like that. People have the liberty to go where they want and to work the jobs that they want.
My greatest concern, and I get what you're saying, Kyle, but my greatest concern is that people in that kind of situation could be leaving for the wrong reason. They could be chasing after the riches of this world. And I just want to warn them of that. And you know, that's not where you're going to find happiness. And you could end up tormenting yourself by doing this. On the other hand, it could be a great move, but that's not my decision to make. I'm just trying to give all options here and give them another perspective that they may want to consider.
So Scott's just saying, okay, if you want to go torment yourself, go ahead.
Yeah. You know,
Scott, who am I to stop you? Be a life coach. Just admit it, Scott. You want to be a life coach.
Well, that is my true calling, Kyle. And that reminds me, we do have a meeting set up before too long to discuss your life. I'm joking. We don't. Nice, nice.
Well, let's make it a little different reason for going that might be more difficult for us to know what to say and how to handle it. Let's say instead of someone moving geographically, that they're in our community and they decide they want to go to another church in our community that has different doctrinal stances. What would you say in that kind of a situation?
So I would, go ahead, Scott.
I was going to let you go first.
Oh, okay. Please. All right. We'll delete all that.
So I can criticize what you say.
Fair enough. I think in a situation like that, there is care and sensitivity that needs to go into that. You know, I think all kinds of things have to be gauged from what are the doctrinal stances. Is it that you are biblically convinced otherwise, so that continuing in this church that you're in, do you feel that you are in sin in remaining in that congregation? I would want to gauge, is their conscience, if that's going to be their reason for leaving, I would want to help them gauge, you know, is your conscience informed by the word of God? Or is this the case of an uninformed conscience and more of a knee-jerk reaction than anything else? You know, I'm a doctrinal precisionist. I mean, I'm a Presbyterian, so I kind of have to be. But even in that, I don't think that any and every wrong doctrine a church might hold is grounds and reason to therefore necessarily leave. I think there's a number of other things that need to be weighed with that as well. And so you kind of need to walk through, and I know this is kind of vague and general, and in some ways I feel it has to be unless you know the exact circumstances that somebody's going through, but you do want to get them to think, you know, there's more to being a member of the church than just having the T's and the I's crossed and dotted in your theology. You know, there are some very theologically precise churches that are absolutely terrible at shepherding. And there are some congregations that are phenomenal at shepherding who don't have all their doctrine in order. And there's a way in which you have to try to think through what is pivotal there. You know, if I was speaking to a man with a family, especially young kids, I might actually emphasize more, how's this shepherding in that church? You know, because these formative years in your kids' lives, as you seek to parent them, they're going to need good shepherding from the church if they're going to grow up and Lord willing, through the means that God gives to glorify and honor Jesus Christ. To me, that might actually be more significant in a certain circumstance than, well, these people are absolute 5-point Calvinists and they preach free and sovereign election every, you know, whatever it is. So I think there's just all kinds of things that you got to work through there and just remember, and sometimes as Reformed people, we forget this, being a part of the church is more than having your doctrine right.
You know, that Barry, that is a difficult one because there has to be this balance of making sure that they are, that's the true reason, that, you know, there's some doctrinal issue. So, I mean, I think it's all right to say, hey, what issues do you see in our church or in our doctrine that is not present in the place that you are going to go, and work through that. But I think there has to be this openness and willingness to listen on the part of the session or the preacher to what, where they're coming from, and not come down in judgment or harshness in those things. On the other hand, I mean, in my experience, and that's all I can draw on, when people say things like that, it is usually not the reason. Doctrine is usually not the reason people leave a church.
And usually, you would say it is what then? Just to make it clear.
Personal. Yeah. So it is a relational issue normally, but it's a whole lot easier to say it's doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think those are helpful comments, and we don't have a whole lot of time left. So I thought I would, I did want to just say one thing before I go this other direction, but I think that we have to keep in mind, as hard as it is for a pastor, elders, or even just if somebody's in a congregation and they have a friend leaving, it's so difficult to see them go. But one of the things we have to remember is the church is ultimately a volunteer association. Mm-hmm. We want people there because that's what their hearts are calling them to do. And we have to be really careful. I think we need to be using persuasion and love and appeal and prayer rather than condemnation and harshness and those kind of situations. So I think that's really important to keep in mind as well. I did want to ask you to, and Scott, you hinted a little bit at this earlier, but what about a pastor leaving a congregation? What are signs that it's time for a pastor to leave? And when is that ever a good thing? It always seems like it creates a lot of difficulty, hardship. I've even heard today of just stories about these things. So what should be the steps taken for a pastor to actually leave a congregation? Is that ever right? And if so, when?
Well, for Kyle, it's never right, because he's never going to want to leave his congregation. Right.
Remember yes. that. Mark that down.
Scott's being passive aggressive again.
Sorry.
Just aggressive, I guess.
Just aggressive. Forget the passive part.
Here I would be... I would once again fall back on what I think is a tremendous freedom and liberty that are given to pastors. Now, pastors are installed, you know, in our Presbyterian system, are installed in a particular congregation. But I am not, you know, rightly defined, I am not the pastor at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church, as though Winchester is what gives me my pastoral credentials, right? I am a pastor. I am a minister of Jesus Christ. And wherever Christ has a people, you know, there is a sense in which I've got the freedom and liberty, if they want me, to go and to serve there. And I actually think pastors can leave congregations for any number of reasons. You know, sometimes we like to hyper-spiritualize it. You know, I think if a pastor doesn't feel that he's being compensated in what can actually help him provide for his family, that can be a legitimate reason to leave. I think that if a pastor thinks, you know, my season of ministry here seems up, I think they need, you know, people need somebody new or somebody to come in with a new direction, or I'm just not being as fruitful as I think. Well, I think a pastor has liberty to go. If a pastor just one day wakes up, maybe not one day, but if over time and marked season is just kind of like, you know, I just don't think this is working out and I really like this opportunity over here, I think he's got the freedom to leave and to go to go with God's blessing.
Yeah. I would, you know, in a lot of ways, I think, and please don't take this the wrong way, I think a pastor is much more transient than a member in a congregation. Not that I ever want you to leave Winchester, because Kyle, I know that's where your heart is, but, you know, the Lord has ministry for pastors and great opportunity. I mean, Paul, look, he traveled all over the world preaching. He would establish a church and leave. I mean, there's you pastors have gifts and the Lord needs or desires to use those and does use those in many different ways. And sometimes that takes you to different places. And I think a congregation needs to be okay with that. It's not that it's easy when a pastor goes somewhere else. It's not. But there is the recognition that the Lord is using you in a bigger way. And I think that sometimes it can be okay when a pastor just says, I think my ministry's done here. I've done all I can do here. And they love the congregation, but you know, there's a time when that happens. And we as a congregation need to be okay with that as well. And then I'm sure that there are other issues that I can't contemplate because I'm not a pastor that you have to deal with. It may just make a pastor say, you know what, I think I need to move on. But I think it should always begin with a meeting with the session to discuss it with the other elders. Just so we can all be on the same page and pray.
Yeah, I think on either end of this, whether it's members leaving or pastors leaving or whatever, I guess one point that I would stress is, you know, just transparency, visibility, honesty, you know, you do nobody a favor trying to gloss over things right. and disguise real reasons. Just be honest about it and just sit down and, you know what, as Christians, we're allowed to have differences. We're allowed to have disagreements. People are allowed to leave churches. Pastors are allowed to leave churches. Just be open about it. I think if you're not, then you begin creating this environment of suspicion, and then that just looks weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. I was speaking with a retired pastor here just very recently, and we were talking about ministers actually just leaving the pastorate altogether. And this man had served in a variety of places through the course of his life of service to the Lord. And one of the things he said is that I think sometimes men stay too long, that perhaps they're trying to hold on to something and it's time to leave. And then they get burned out and frustrated and just sort of throw up their hands and don't realize that maybe if they had taken their gifts and gone somewhere else, that could have been the answer that they needed. Now, that's not always the answer, of course, but it's certainly something to consider. I think we do need to cultivate the idea of freedom, and there just has to be a healthy communication between particularly the pastors and elders when we're talking about a pastor leaving. But I also would say between the elders and the congregation, the members of the congregation, it just needs to be that dialogue, because we're not meant to make all of these decisions on our own. God's given the body of Christ to help us and to provide counsel. Well, we need to wrap up, but any last thought before we do so?
Well, I think, you know, I quickly realized as we started talking about this, the immensity of this conversation. And there is so much that, I mean, we've barely even skimmed the surface. You know, there's all kinds of, I think we see a lot today, preferential reasons why people leave the church. And is that valid? Can that be valid? Are those good reasons, bad reasons? I think, you know, this is a topic, though, that Christians really need to be wise about. Coming out of a year of horrid pandemic lockdowns, you know, there's been more disagreement in local churches this year than I've ever witnessed in my life. And you see people who are burned up and burned out, and you see them frustrated with local leadership. You see local leadership frustrated with people. It's not a happy time. And I think this is actually a very relevant question coming out of this last year, year and a half that we have had. And Christians really need to be wise. You know, we're not to be reactionary. We're not to just shoot from the hip. I'm not saying there aren't valid reasons across the spectrum for leaving churches, but it is something that we need to pursue wisdom in. And I think that's an important point to emphasize.
Well, thank you for those thoughts. And I'm sure there are other questions that may have arisen in minds of our listeners. Hopefully there's more than one. And if so, you can feel free to write in, and we'd be glad to try to address those if we think that would be helpful to all our listeners. If you'd like to contact us and interact with us, you can write us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. You can go over to our website at 3gt.xyz and find out more about us and listen to previous episodes. Guys, I just got another fan mail, this guy who started at the very beginning, and he's binge listening to 3GT. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
There are
people like that out there.
He'll stop when he gets to my episodes, I'm sure.
I doubt it. Anyway, we're very thankful that you've tuned in, and we look forward to you joining us again on 3GT.